this time we will introduce our brother, Leo Post, who will speak on the subject of Christian growth. Christian growth. Brother Leo.
Food that all Christians need. have come to the point of consecration, and whether they're new and just approaching that condition, or whether they are now being developed as new creatures in Christ, they need the sustenance that's found in God's holy word. And without it, they will die. And so the illustration is used that when someone is new and is just becoming acquainted with God's plan, that his sustenance is like the milk, which is a most remarkable food when you stop to think about it, because milk has all the essentials of nutrition in it. It has the proteins, it has the fats and the carbohydrates and the vitamins and all these things now that we are finding out are so essential to good nutrition. They're there. And it's the same kind of composition that is also found in other foods that are the solid foods that can be classified as the strong meat. But the difference is, it's a matter of concentration and dilution. In the case of milk, it's diluted down with a lot of water, so that the infant, who has no teeth, can't chew the fruit, can't assimilate it in that way, which is the first step in digestion, can't take this fruit and buy it, get the nutrition necessary to grow and develop. As I say, it's a most remarkable food. But when it comes to an adult, the dilution is so great that if you're to live on milk alone, it's not going to be very, very satisfying. See, as the person starts developing and growing, as a child starts to grow, it needs a greater concentration of these essential ingredients that provide nutrition. And you'll notice that the way the scriptures use this illustration of the milk of the word and meat is always associated with the need for growth or assimilation for developing the new creature in Christ Jesus. One of the places that where this is used as an illustration is by the Apostle Peter. Let's turn to his epistle, the 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2, where the Apostle Peter first says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, hypocrisy and envy and evil speaking." I want you to notice very carefully now what he's saying here, that you've got to, this is something that we're laying aside as newborn babes. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. We'd like to underscore the grow thereby. And as you read on in that chapter, the Apostle Peter's epistle, this first epistle, you'll see that he continues with other beautiful illustrations, and some of the things that he mentions, which is telling us how we made this wonderful transformation. We left those things of the world, and he says, in particular, in the ninth verse, that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Another illustration, but the same point. That we're making a change now. We're going to start feeding on the sincere milk of the word so that we can grow. And then later on in the 12th verse, he says, having your conversational conduct, is what he's talking about, your conduct honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, the good works that you will start to develop as you grow, glorify God in the day of visitation. doesn't use me for contrast. It's only the Apostle Paul that has done this. As far as the Apostle Peter is concerned, is he wants you to look on the Word of God as being pure, unadulterated, as a sincere milk of the Word, and to grow by taking it and assimilating for your growth. But now the Apostle Paul takes us another step beyond this, and he starts using the illustration of strong meat. And another place where he does this is in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. Go to the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. You'll see that the apostle is writing to the Corinthian church, and he's concerned about the way that they are interpreting and accepting certain teachings that are coming to them. And he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions," now notice some of the things that he's talking about, the envying and the strife. So those are the things that the Apostle Peter, you may recall, said, these are the things we're leaving behind. Not the brethren in Corinth. They had brought them in along with them. And he says that these things are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, "I am of Paul," another, "I am of Apollos," are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. They were looking more at the vessel that was being used by the Lord in bringing the message to them instead of the message itself. You know, that's a serious thing that we can do, dear friends. Like back there, they were saying, "Well, I believe it because Paul said it." The others were saying, "I believe because Apollos said this." And so the Apostle Paul is trying to get them to understand that these are all people who are working together as ministers of the Lord to help them grow. To grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, "I have planted, water, but God gave the increase." It's God who helps us to grow if we properly assimilate what is used there for our growth. Now he's gone now to another kind of illustration. He started off with this babes in Christ and milk and meat, but now he's shifted over to that of plants growing. And he says, "I planted a seed, and now Apollos came along, and he used the word of the Lord to water you. But it's God who gives increase, that helps you to grow. So then neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watereth." Don't make any distinctions as to who the vessel is that's used of the Lord to bring you the necessary assistance for your growth, but rather keep in mind that it's God that's doing all of this. And he says, "And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry," you're God's farm. "Ye are God's building." And now he's using another illustration still. And we'll come back to that kind of illustration later on. One of the things that we sometimes do, which I think is wrong, is that we think that technical points in the scriptures, or some of the more difficult illustrations and types and shadows, are the strong meat. Haven't you ever heard somebody say, after a brother has given a very complicated presentation of the truth, he says, "Oh, that was strong meat because I didn't understand it." You know, that doesn't mean that there's necessarily strong meat.
out if it isn't all. And we'll talk a little more about that later on.
But it's what helps you to grow as a Christian. That's the strong meat. And the more concentrated it is, the more you benefit from it, the more you will be able to assimilate the Word of God. After all, when we start in our Christian journey, we start looking at the Scriptures, and we read some of the, and there's something in the Lord's Word that is available for everybody. And the babe in Christ, as he reads the Lord's Word, he gets great inspiration from some of the things that he's reading there. Later on, as he starts to grow and develop, he'll read the very same Scriptures, the identical Scriptures, and he'll start to see there things that he hadn't seen before. But what in particular will he be seeing? Some new wrinkle, some new idea? Not necessarily. But what he should be seeing is how God's character is being manifested. How broad God's love is. How deep it is. How wide encompassing it is. And his justice and his wisdom and his power. All of these things will be made evident. We could go through a list of doctrines. And brethren have done this sometimes. They try to pick some of the more basic and fundamental doctrines, like creation, or man's fall and condemnation, or the law that was given to Israel, justification, consecration, sanctification, glorification, the return of our Lord, restitution. Go through these are usually considered some of the fundamental doctrines. And we go through this list, and how should we do this? Should we say creation? That's a simple doctrine of Christ. The law given to Israel. That's a simple doctrine, or is that the strong meat? Is that milk or meat? How would you look at it? Ability to grow. It could be, any one of these doctrines can be presented in a very complex manner. That doesn't mean that it is strong meat. On the contrary, it could, if you don't get anything at all out of it, it hasn't benefited a single member of the audience, or if it only benefits one, and the great majority of them say, I don't know what he's been talking about. And it has been useless. It's really not available as food for anybody. And the Lord's Word is food to help us to grow. The Apostle Paul makes that pretty plain in still another place. And that's in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. In the fourth chapter of Ephesians, starting with the 11th verse, he tells about how the Lord provided help for the early church, how he provided all of these that would be those that would teach the church and give them the necessary assistance. And this is the way he presents the matter. He says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's the important part. The edification of the body of Christ. That's the reason why these were given to help develop the new creature, the whole body of Christ, as new creatures in Christ, and also for the ministry and the edification of the body, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I don't think that's as good a translation as it should be, so let's look at that same
verse now in the dialogue, the way it's been presented there. And we're talking about the 13th verse.
Things confused concerning their traditional religious ideas.
of that to their fathers.
Of course, their fathers have rejected them.
Rejected him. So, he goes on to saying how Jesus had to be made a little lower than the angels for providing the ransom price. And he uses the illustration of Moses' house and how that was just a picture of another house, and a more important house that Jesus was the head of. And then the experiences of his brethren in Egypt, I mean, as they left Egypt and going through the wilderness, as they fell in the wilderness because they failed to enter into God's rest. And he's calling this to their attention to show them that these are things that the Lord wrote beforehand for the encouragement and help of his people. And he then goes to the priesthood and the Aaronic priesthood. From here on, he's going to be talking more about that in the book, and he does throughout the remaining part of the book, or the Epistle to the Hebrews. The beautiful pictures of the tabernacle are being called to them. But as he starts talking about the Aaronic priesthood, he also realizes that they had brought too much of some of the things of tradition along with them, because when God gave the nation of Israel the law and certain things that they were to do as rituals, they started to get so engrossed in the rituals, they added to them. That's what Jesus was referring to as the traditions of men, the many things that they had added, all the rules and regulations that were not intended to be there in the first place. And it was hard for them to let go of some of these things now that they had learned as the traditions of men and as some of the rituals when they were in the nation of Israel. But now that they had left this, they were supposed to have an understanding of why the law was given, why the rituals were given, and to be able to go on now to develop it as new creatures. But they weren't doing too well. They were being hampered by the rituals that they were holding on to. Just as the brethren in Corinth were being hampered by carnality, by choosing sides, by looking at the outward form of the vessel that was being used by the Lord, maybe by the eloquence of the speaker more than what he was saying. And they weren't hearing properly what he was saying, even if he was saying something that was good and worthwhile. They weren't assimilating the necessary food from his presentation so they could grow. Instead, they had envy and strife. And so this was true of the brethren here of the Hebrews. And so the Apostle Paul says, from one standpoint, you had so many advantages that you ought to be the teachers of your Gentile brethren. That's where he starts the text that we read, the 12th verse. You ought to be the teachers. But you're not. And the reason why you're not is because you have this problem of having all of these traditions so mixed up that really you have to start all over again. And you have to get the milk of the word and be treated as babes to get this all clear and in your mind and understand what the Lord had in mind when he gave you the understanding of this wonderful message of how he's developing the Christ. That's all they knew about the Messiah. They were expecting the Messiah. Now the Messiah had come. But the Messiah wasn't just Jesus himself, but they could see now that the Christ, this anointed one that was to come, had many members and had a body, and that they were to be members of this body. If they could understand this, they would grow. And this is why he is telling them that whereas they could be the teachers, now it's evident that they have have to start all over again. And one of the things that
grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid which is Jesus Christ. This is the ransom. This is the fundamental, the basic doctrine on which all the other doctrines are then laid for a structure, and then on which we are to build. And he continues by telling us how we should build. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, let's go back to Hebrews now again. What the apostle is saying is that these doctrines are the foundation. They are the basis upon which we build. And we build as the apostle said here in the third chapter of Corinthians, with either gold, silver, precious stones, which is enduring and lasting. It's an illustration of a character that's according to Christ. After all the principles concerning character development, these are teachings in themselves. They are doctrines too. Doctrine is teaching. The brother gets up here and he uses as his subject something about character development. That's a teaching. And it's an important teaching, and it comes from the Lord's holy word. And it helps us to grow. But that's not the only teaching. There are all this other necessity for having the firm foundation upon which to build. And so as we look at some of the things here that the apostle is saying, of course then he tells about how he could fall away, how it's possible to reject Jesus as a ransom, and how disastrous that is. And that was probably happening back then. Some brethren came out of Judaism, they accepted Christianity, and then many of them probably went back to Judaism, or even went out of the truth completely, went out of all, maybe didn't believe in God at all, whatever. Because it seems to me that somebody who rejects the ransom does also reject many other things as well. We have here the admonition that we're to build on these teachings and build in a proper way. And as we look back there, what can we gain from this? Well, number one lesson is that we should not permit doctrinal error to cause us to build in the wrong way. Probably the best illustration I can think of along that line is just at the time when Pastor Russell died, and as years went on, running for the prize of the high calling started to get certain other ideas and concepts into their thinking. Before long, they said, no, the church is falling. There's no longer any need to run for the prize of the high calling. And little by little, they got enmeshed in doctrinal errors to such an extent that everything concerning growth as creatures in Christ is gone. There was no growth of that type any longer. But rather, they got the selfish notion that this whole earth is going to be theirs. The Lord's going to give it to them. Everybody else is bad. Same old doctrine that the adversary has been so successful
in foisting upon mankind and many sincere Christian people and thinking that they're the only ones that are going to go to heaven. Everybody else, eternal torment. But it's a little different in that they'll have the earth. They'll be here upon the earth. But everybody else, too bad, they're gone. Like a death. Another lesson that we can get out of this is that we should not think that some of the technical things that brethren sometimes bring up, and it's all involved in, are strong meat. I'd like to quote a few scriptures along that line just to prove the point. The Apostle Paul was telling Timothy how careful he should be, and he says in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, 20th verse, he says, well, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, all of the things that the apostle had taught him, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so-called, with some professing have erred concerning the faith. Or just before that, in the earlier part of that same epistle, 1 Timothy, the first chapter, and the fourth verse, he says, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. In other words, these were things that they were bringing up in some of the ecclesias, which were getting the brethren all confused, and they were arguing about these things instead of edifying one another, which is what was important. And then in the second epistle that he wrote to Timothy, second chapter, the 23rd verse, again he has the same kind of point that he makes. He says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And that's another important thing for us to learn. Then another point that we can gain from this experience that the brethren back there had is that any teaching that doesn't help the brethren to grow is useless. If somebody is teaching you, and from this you do not get the necessary inspiration to grow as a new creature in Christ, better that he gets not spoken at all. If he's so complex and so complicated that it's way over your head and you can't understand it, then it's better that he had not spoken. Because the purpose of these teachings is to help us grow. Whether it's diluted down in the form of milk, or whether it's strong meat, purpose is that we can assimilate this and start to grow. And to prove the point, dear brethren, I'd like to go into the same 6th chapter of Hebrews where we've been looking at all these points and to see how the apostle finally uses the illustration now of growing, the things growing as plant life. And he's kind of switched illustrations, but still the same principles are involved here. And I think this should kind of convince us now of why he's using milk and meat. And that's coming down to the 7th verse, after he's told about how he could fall away and crucify again the Son of God afresh. He says, for the earth, this is the 7th verse, for the earth, the ground here, which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it. And like we had last night, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed,